Father, happy that you're here. We ask you might spend a few moments after services that we might get better acquainted. If you have any questions concerning the things that are spoken, we'll be more than happy to sit down with you with an open Bible and come to it, thus saith the Lord. We hope and pray that all that we do here, first and foremost, is pleasing to God, is accord with His will, and that it might encourage and edify us as we travel upon this uneven pathway of life. Before we get into the lesson proper this morning, I would like to ask your prayers. Brother John Haynes, as many of you know, his family lost his home a few weeks ago. I talked to Brother Haynes yesterday, and he had a biopsy, and he has a mass on his right lung. And they're going to have to determine on Tuesday whether or not they're going to remove that mass or whether he's going to the Cleveland Clinic in order to have a second opinion, but it's a very serious thing. And I would ask that you remember John and his family in your prayers. Brother Haynes is a good man. I love him a great deal. He's been a great encouragement to me. We both arrived here in the Dayton area about the same time. I think I got here a month earlier than he did. But I've had a close relationship with him since he has been here. And I know that it's a trying time, losing your home and all of its contents and have to relocate. And his home has been declared a total disaster. They're going to have to completely rebuild. That's been the final designation of the fire inspectors. And so he's going to be 6 to 8 months living in a rented house until that is accomplished, and now this health problem on top of that. So if you please remember that family in your prayers, I know that he'll appreciate it. Please take your Bibles on, turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to continue our discussion on the fruit of the Spirit. We want to continue looking at these character traits that help us to be mature and effective in our lives and our service to God. And we want to look at the next one in the list, and that is kindness. We want to look at the fruit of the Spirit that is called kindness. If you notice in the fruit of the Spirit, as we began this lesson, we gave an introduction. We talked about the aspect of love. Last week we talked about joy and peace and suffering. And this morning we want to talk about kindness. And kindness is an important attribute for a Christian to have. We are in the middle of the second trio of the fruit of the Spirit. These traits have to deal with relationships. These have to do with our dealings with one another and our dealings with our fellow man. People know what they want to have, but they don't know what they want to be. This study should shed some light on who it is we want to be, what we want to demonstrate to others, and our desire should be the people of God that are full of love, that are full of joy and peace and long-suffering, and that we have a kind spirit, and that we have a kind disposition towards others, even those, as we will see in this lesson, that we may disagree with on a religious level. The word kindness comes from a Greek word, pheristos, which is the noun form. In the King James Version, if you have the King James Version, it uses the word gentleness. Now, it is defined in Arden Gingrich, a Greek lexicon, as goodness, uprightness, kindness, and generosity. We will talk about goodness tonight, but this is uprightness and generosity. And this is how we want to talk about this character of kindness. We want to look at Vine's definition because it's a little bit more lengthy. It gives you a better understanding. In Vine's, the Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, Mr. Vine says it signifies not merely goodness as a quality, rather it is goodness in action. Goodness expressing itself in deeds, yet not goodness expressing itself in indignation against sin, for it is contrasted with the severity of God in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 22, but in grace and tenderness and compassion. I want you to notice in this definition that it is more than a quality, it is expressed itself in action. That is the great difference between goodness and kindness. And we'll talk about, like I said, goodness tonight. But kindness is something that can be expressed. It is something that can be exhibited. It is something that can be shown towards another person or people. And it is something that is very evident by our actions and our conduct towards others. In the Bible, there are examples of this word. Now, one of the things that are interesting, sometimes you don't see the word kindness. You'll see a word that is a different word, but it comes from the same Greek word. I want you to take your Bibles on and turn to Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, we commonly refer to this as the Lord's invitation, the great invitation. But in offering this invitation, in verse number 30, we see this word, a Greek word used, that is the word for kindness. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse number 30, it says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now we see from this word in the scriptures that this yoke is a way of uprightness. This yoke is easy because it is correct. It is kind because it is something that is easily done. It is something that is easily benefited to the one that does it. And we see that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, tied with the other two passages that preceded, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourself. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It is upright. It is kind. We also see this word in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 39. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 39, Luke wrote, "And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better." This word "better" comes from the same Greek word kindness, and it means something that is milder and something that is more profitable. In other words, we have something that conveys a mildness, a pleasantness, a mellowness. It's something that gives off a characteristic of something that is mild and pleasant. And kindness is a mild and pleasant character trait. It is something that is easily distinguishable. It is something that is easily conveyed. It is something that easily brings good into any kind of relationship that we are talking about. Now, in earlier, I told you that it's in contrast. Turn to Romans chapter 11. And this is a passage that I think we're more familiar with. In Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, in discussing the subject of faith and grace and works and how all that works together, after he talked to the Jews and then he talked to the Gentiles, and then he talked to the Jews, and he demonstrated that all men were under sin, all men needed the grace and the love of God, all men needed to have faith in God, and all need to demonstrate that faith by their obedient actions. But then in Romans chapter 11, down in verse number 22, the text tells us, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But towards you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will be cut off." Now, this word "goodness" is translated from this same Greek word for kindness in Galatians chapter 5. It is the exact same Greek word. And it carries the understanding that there are things that will be profitable for those who follow after God, and there's kindness that he will extend, and there's going to be severity that God is going to retribute upon people who are disobedient or ungodly, that is also not unkind, but it is acceptable because of their conduct. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be people that extend kindness. To better understand this, I think sometimes you go to a passage where that word is used and you can see a better understanding of it. Take your Old Testament to the book of Psalms, chapter 107. In Psalms chapter 107, we have contrast in this great psalm, the goodness and the severity of God. And we want to look at this psalm briefly, and it is an example of this character of kindness. Now, you're going to see in this particular lesson for a few moments that I'm going to interchange kindness and goodness. But goodness that we'll talk about tonight is from a different Greek word. The word "goodness" that's used that we'll talk about tonight is not the same word that we're talking about now. The Greek word that we're talking about now is better expressed in kindness, but sometimes in the context it is used by translators as being goodness. But there are two different Greek words. And again, sometimes that's when we need to get to the Greek language to have a clearer understanding when the same... Remember when we went through the Bible about translations? Remember when I told you that sometimes there's a word in the original language that the word in the English language is not something that's parallel to it, and so you choose which is the closest word that signifies what the original language is trying to say. That happens a lot of time in goodness, and therefore you have to look at the Greek word to understand if it's going to be talking about the goodness trait that we'll talk about tonight, or whether it's talking about this trait of kindness from this other Greek word that we're talking about this morning. But in Psalms chapter 107, we see in the first 9 verses that those who experience the kindness of God and give thanks to the Lord for His mercy that endures forever are those who have been redeemed. God has exhibited kindness to those whom He has redeemed. How has that kindness been expressed? Well, it's been expressed in many ways. The fact that we have redemption, the fact that it's even possible, the fact that we have forgiveness of sins, the fact that God will forgive us of our evil conduct and our sin, and He's willing to take us, and He's willing to forgive the condemnation, and He's willing that we not have to suffer the penalty. What did we do to deserve that? We did nothing to deserve that. That was a kindness that God expressed to us. He expressed kindness when He sent His Son from the portals of heaven and left the portals of glory to come on this earth into sinful man to this long land of sin and sorrow. It was a great kindness that God extended towards us. It was nothing that we deserved. It's nothing that we merited. It is nothing that we've earned. It is simply an expression of God's kindness that is demonstrated in His love for us. And so these first 9 verses talk about this goodness or kindness that has been extended to the redeemed. And then in verses 10 through 16, it talks about the severity of those who are chastised. Why are men chastised? Men are chastised because they're disobedient, because they're unkind to others, because they don't have the same character trait that God's exhibited to them. They have not exhibited that same kind of character towards other people. They've been unkind in their actions. They've been guilty of sin, and therefore God chastises them. And if we go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and we read verses 5 through 11, we see that God's chastening is for our profit. It is not something that God does because he gets glory out of it and because it's something He enjoys. He does it in order to train us, to teach us, to guide us, to correct us, that we might be all that we can be. And then in verse 17 through 22 in this psalm, it talks about the severity of God for those who are foolish and are in sin. Now, you can't expect God to be kind to you when you're in sin. Now, in a sense, He offers all men the blood of Christ, the grace of God. He died for all men, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. So in a general sense, His kindness has been exhibited to all men. But not all men benefit from the kindness of God who continue to practice and enjoy the folly of sin. You can't expect God's kindness when you're acting in a way that's contrary to His will. And then He uses an example of the mariners that are in peril. The water and the winds are beating up on the ship, and it's going up and down, and it's just going all over, and it seems that they have no way of knowing whether they're going to survive the storm, and they cry and they plead to God for help, that He might extend mercy and He might extend kindness, and that He might make the wind and the waves that they would be able to survive it. And last but not least, in the last part of this psalm, He talks about the downtrodden. He talks about those that life has downtrodden by the things that they experience. And God extends kindness to them. He extends hope to them. He extends His love to them because of His love and His kindness towards them. Now, in this psalm, you see there are two groups of people. You know, you can take God's kindness one of two ways. You can accept it, and you can receive the benefits of it. Or you can reject it, and you can receive the consequence of that decision, but God leaves that up to you. But now, what about us? How do we express kindness? And what does kindness do for us? And what does it do to the relationships that we find ourselves in life? Turn to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, and verse number 4. In Romans chapter 2, in verse number 4, Paul wrote, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness?" That comes from the same Greek word that we're talking about this morning. Forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness, same word, of God leads you to repentance. Paul told the saints in Rome about God's kindness, which he demonstrated. How did God demonstrate his kindness to the saints at Rome? By his forbearance and his long-suffering. Now, isn't that the same type of kindness that God extends to us today? By his forbearance and his long-suffering with us, when we're not all that we could be, when we fall short of his glory because we do things that are contrary to his will, when we're not doing everything that maybe we could do or should do. Remember, James 4:17 says that to him it knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Remember, even God demonstrates his kindness towards us, that he is long-suffering and he is forbearing. That type of kindness can lead a man to repentance. It can make him understand where he's fallen short. That attribute of God can cause a man to recognize his sin, to recognize his condition, and do something about to change it, to change his mind that will result in a change of conduct. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 that the Apostle Paul talked about two types of sorrow? He talked about a sorrow of the world that leads to death, and he talked about a sorrow of a godly sort that leads a man to repentance. What's the difference? The difference is in the attribute, what it does and what it causes to happen. What is worldly sorrow? That's just sorry you got caught. That's just sorry that you got to make a change. That's just sorry that somehow you got to change what you're doing. Let me give you an example. If a person has been abusing of his body, let's say with alcohol, and then he goes in the doctor, and the doctor says, you know what, if you don't stop drinking, you're going to die. And he stops drinking, he reforms his life. He changes, he doesn't change. But did he do it for the good, or did he do it because he was forced to do it, because if he didn't do it, then he's going to die. And so maybe that's not a genuine change, but maybe in time it could be. But at the time he's going to change because it benefits him. But let's say another person realizes that God's long-suffering and his forbearance with him, and understands that he's not treated God very well, that he hasn't done the best that he could, that he hasn't done the things that he should have done, and he understands how much God loves him, how long-suffering he's been with him, how forbearing he is, that he hasn't made him suffer the consequence of his actions, and that he's been able to avoid that, but yet he understands, because of that kindness, that he needs to change his life. You know what that is? That's godly sorrow that will lead a man to repentance. And so what does all that mean? That means that we can express, and we can distribute, and we can demonstrate this act of kindness, and it can bring about change in people. It can change people how they look at you. It can change how you look at them. It can change their perspective, and it can change your perspective. And when we're kind to one another, there are benefits on both ends of the relationship. Now, God's kindness is available to all. He never showed any partiality about that. How do I know that? Well, look at Luke chapter 5. Even the wicked benefit from the kindness of God. Look at Luke 6, and look at verse 35 and 36. But it says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Notice, he is kind to the unfaithful, even to the evil. You mean God expresses kindness even to those people who are unthankful for what he does for them? Ladies and gentlemen, he does that every day. You know, the very air that people breathe is a demonstration of the love of God. God extends that to all men. He doesn't make any partiality, and only the good people can enjoy the benefits of living upon this earth. That doesn't just benefit the good people. That benefits everybody that lives here. He expresses that kindness in everything he has done, and he's done it without partiality and without any respect to a person. And he even does that not only people that don't even think. You know what? Does the atheist ever think about thanking God? He doesn't even believe in him. He benefits from God's kindness, but he doesn't believe in him. He doesn't deserve that benefit, but God gives it to him. Why? Because God's kind. What about those who practice evil? Those who do things that are completely contrary to his will. Live a life that's contrary to his will. live a life that is ungodly, live a life that is in disregard for God's commandments, and yet God extends the kindness of life to them. He extends, they have good health. They have good prosperity. They have stable jobs. They have good homes. They have what we would call, they live in the lap of luxury. Why? Because God's kind to them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what's the point? Now, if God can do all of that, if God can be kind to the vilest of people, surely, surely as His people, we can express kindness to all people. We can extend what little kindness and what little ways that we can be kind to one another, can't we? God's kindness is available to all because it is the gift of His Son. Remember what Titus said in Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 6? But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. God's kindness was expressed to all men by the giving of His only Son. If you read Hebrews 2 and verse 9, the Bible will tell you that He tasted death for every man. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed this act of kindness even though we were altogether undeserving, unthankful, and ungodly. God extended kindness. He expressed and exhibited kindness. And you know what's wonderful about God's kindness? It hasn't ended. It is still being extended, it is still being exhibited, and it is still being demonstrated every day this world turns. Every day this world turns is another expression of the kindness and the love of God. And He has done that without reservation. He hasn't done it with trepidation, and He hasn't done it with reserve about it. He's done it willingly because of His love and His desire to save all men. Isn't that the underlying thing behind the kindness of God? Isn't the underlying thing that God's striving for is to bring that soul to repentance and to lead him home? Isn't that why God expresses kindness to all? Isn't that what 2 Peter 3, 9 says? He doesn't wish any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants all men to be saved, and so therefore, He's going to be kind, even though they're unthankful, even though they're evil, even though they don't do the things that God wants them to do. God gave him His Son. He gave him the best that he had. And He continually offers the blessings of that sacrifice, and He completely expresses His kindness. Now, that's God. Now, in the last few minutes, let's talk about us. How can we reciprocate that same characteristic in our life? God calls on us to have to kindness. We are challenged to be kind to all. God expects us as His children to be kind to all people. You know, the Bible's pretty clear about this. Really, you can't miss it. The Bible says to love your enemy. Bless them that persecute you. The Bible says to overcome evil with good in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. We are to pray for our enemies. If our enemy hungers, we're to feed him. If he's thirsty, we're to give him a drink. Why? Because you overcome evil with good. We are to be kind to the ungrateful and the evil. We are to be kind to the needy. In Acts, the 28th chapter, in Acts 28 chapter, you remember when Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta? And you remember what they did? You know, Paul said they expressed kindness to us. How was that kindness expressed to those who were shipwrecked? It was raining and it was cold. And what did they do? They built a fire. Why? It was an expression of kindness. We are to be men and women who express kindness to the needy. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very prosperous country, the most prosperous on God's earth. we have opportunity to help those and relieve those who have much greater needs than our own on a regular basis. We have that through people we know. We have that through work. We can have that through people that we know personally. We have that through the gospel, through men and women who are in desperate straits in different countries, in third world countries and poverty-stricken nations. We have a lot of opportunity to demonstrate kindness to those who are in need. Do we use those opportunities? And do we extend kindness to those who are in need? But what about to our brethren? Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we want to read chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, to the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. To the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness. God expects us to be kind to one another. God expects us to demonstrate, to exhibit, to something that can be seen, that we are kind one to another. You know what all this does? This is the full spectrum. Who is not to be touched by the kindness of God? Who's not to be touched by this character trait that we're to have as a fruit of the Spirit? We're to help the enemy. We're to help the needy. We're to help our brethren. We're to love all men, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. You see, it encompasses everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians have no reason to be unkind to anyone. To anyone. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter how we are treated, no matter what has been done to us, we have no right, by the grace of God, to ever demonstrate unkindness towards another person. That should never be said of a child of God. It should be something that's completely contrary to us. Now, let me ask you a question about kindness. Is my first response to others clothed in kindness? When I find myself in a situation, how do I react? Am I a polymorphic Christian? Now, what does that mean? That's a big word. What does that mean? In other words, do I take on a different form for different days and for different reasons? Am I rude and short-tempered on one occasion and then kind on another? Does my treatment of others depend on whether I woke up on the right side of the bed or the left? Does it depend on whether it's dark and gloomy or whether the sun is bright and shining? Does it depend upon what is done to me and how others treat me? Do life circumstances cause me to change my kindness into callousness and from sweet to bitter? Is kindness something that I change like the weather? Do I just mold it to how I feel and what my circumstance is and what I feel like doing that day? And how, whatever is going on in my life, how it's affecting me? You know the answer to that is? It's very easy for us to do all of that, isn't it? It's very easy for us to let this world and the pressures and the stresses and the difficulties and the things that we face and the problems that we have, it's very easy for us to let all that affect us in such a way that we can just, in simple terms, just be unkind to another person who has done nothing to us, who has done nothing that deserves that treatment, but we do it simply because, for lack of a better term, we're full of ourselves. You know what? You got to fight that. You got to fight that because you know what? That's a daily temptation, isn't it?
Isn't the daily temptation to get so immersed and so overwhelmed by your own difficulties, your own problems, your own life, that you can't see anything else, and you have tunnel vision, and you can't see the need, and you can't see the things that other people need other than yourself? Remember what Jesus said in Philippians chapter 2? Remember what he said about the mind of Christ? Let each of you look to others' interests above your own. Remember what he said about that? And to do that, you've got to look beyond self. You know, this comes with humility. And are others at ease in my presence, or are they on edge? You know, sometimes we use the term that certain people, you've got to walk on eggshells. Why is that? Why does that happen? Do I make them feel comfortable? Can they draw close to me, or do they draw away from me? Do I offer a cold shoulder sometimes? Sometimes not. Do my feelings go on and off like a light switch? Does it depend on how you're treating me? Does it depend on how I'm feeling? Does it depend on what you've done in the past? Does it depend on whether I think you deserve it or not? Ladies and gentlemen, I hope we're above all that kind of thinking. And you know what the easiest way to understand kindness and being kind is to understand how I want people to treat me. If you don't want people to be unkind and ugly and cold and make you feel uncomfortable, then I got a little suggestion for you. Don't treat them in like manner. Being kind does not mean that we tolerate sin. Was Jesus a kind man? Was he a compassionate man? Jesus was kind and compassionate, yet he called men out of sin. Why? Because he came to seek and save the lost. It didn't change his love for them. It didn't change his kindness toward them, but he did not tolerate sin. It doesn't mean that we cannot be forceful and bold when we have a point to prove. Jesus was kind, and he was compassionate, yet he was very forceful and bold. Read Matthew chapter 23. Read the exchange in John chapter 8 when he told the Jews that they weren't of the son of Abraham. They were telling him, well, we don't need to have a relationship with you. We're the sons of Abraham. You remember what Jesus said? No, you got the wrong father. You're not the sons of Abraham. Your father is the devil. And you do his will. And his desire is to do his will. Now, brethren, what's kind about that? That's not very kind, is it? But you know what? That was kind because that's what they needed. They were practicing hypocrisy. They were demonstrating ungodliness, and God pointed out to them that they were not what they thought they were. That wasn't unkind. That was necessary because of his love for the soul. Sometimes that's true. But you know what wisdom is? You know what true wisdom is, ladies and gentlemen? It's to know when to do one and not to do the other. There's a time and a place when you've got to calm down and call down on sin. And there's a time and a place that you've got to be long-suffering, kind, and bear with it, and give people time to understand and grow and mature, to come to the proper knowledge that they need to have. And the wisdom is to know what the difference is and when to put it in practice. No, we can't tolerate sin, but ladies and gentlemen, we can be kind. Being kind does not mean we can't be strong and committed and point out error, but ladies and gentlemen, even to a person who we differ with on a matter of religion, we have no right to ever be unkind because we disagree with them about some religious doctrine. We have no right to be ugly. We have no right to be unkind. We have no right to be hateful, and we have no right to be arrogant. Ladies and gentlemen, if we ever exhibit that kind of character with those we differ with, write this down. You will never convert them. You won't even listen to you. They won't even give you the time of day. You know what? We need to practice kindness to those that we differ with. Being kind means that we should be sensitive to the needs of others. Ladies and gentlemen, people have needs, and we need to be sensitive to that. Read James chapter 2, 14 through 18. We should make us treat everyone the way that we'd like to be treated. Remember the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Matthew 7, verse 12. You know what? We often talk about that in the Sermon on the Mount. But if everybody crosses that in every relationship they have, whether we're talking about husband and wife, father and mothers and children, whether we're talking about brethren, whether we're talking about our other close family relationships, our friends, if anybody crosses Matthew 7, verse 12, would anybody ever be treated in an unkind way? I dare say not. Because I want to be treated that way, do you? Do you want anybody to treat you unkindly? Do you want anybody to treat you in a way that is hateful? No. It should make us deal with others in the same way that God deals with us. Ladies and gentlemen, do you clearly understand the kindness of God? I know that you do. You benefit from it every day of your life. Now, if you can understand, and you can picture, you can put into perspective how God sees us, what God wants is for us to have the same mindset towards each other. To be kind. To be tender-hearted. To be long-suffering. To be forgiving. Isn't that how God sees us? God can't be as good as that towards others and towards one another. William Barclay made this statement. This Christian kindness is a loving thing, and it's loveliness that comes from the fact that Christian kindness means treating others in the way in which God has treated us. You know, all we do, ladies and gentlemen, is we mirror our Father's character. He puts his hand back down to the kindness we collect. Kindness is something that's easy to see. It can easily be practiced. And every one of us in this audience tonight, in this morning, have benefited from the kindness of God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you have benefited from the kindness of God because He sent His Son to die in your place. He sent His Son to give His life as a ransom for your sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, He that knew no sin became sin for us. He died that you might have life. That's kindness, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not a child of God, that kindness has been demonstrated towards you. And His kindness is still there because He's allowed you to live in order to give you time to make your life out this out. Here's the word of God on this sin. In that same word, Hebrews chapter 11, repenting of your sins, in Acts 17 and verse 30, the confessing his good name before men, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, is submitting yourself to a letter of grace to contact the blood of Christ, that you might contact the blood of Christ, that you might have your sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16, you can benefit from that kindness today. That's your prayer. But if you refuse and you reject God's kindness, you've got the right to do that too. That's your choice. God gives you the right to do that. But you can't say, if I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're here, you're not a Christian, and you stand before that judgment seat and you find yourself on a day of judgment to be lost because you've never benefited from the kindness of God, you won't be able to blame Him. He's done all that He can do. You're my brother and sister in Christ. You understand more than anyone else the kindness of God has exhibited in you. You understand what God has done for you, and you understand the love that He has for you. And you've not lived the kind of life that you feel, and you've gone back into sin, you need us to pray with you and tell you that God will forgive you. James 5, verse 16 says, the effectual righteous prayer, the effectual righteous prayer, as always get this right. James 5, 16, you read it, you know what it says. The Bible says the effectual prayer of a righteous man and girl of men. Confess your faults one to another. I knew I'd figure it out here in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad that God is a kind God? Aren't you glad that He gives us kindness every day? Shouldn't we be people who also benefit kindness? Isn't happening anyway to be the comfort of everything.